Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Amen. Amen. Can I hear you louder? Amen. Are you excited to be in church tonight? If you know you're excited to be in church, left and right, look at your neighbor, tell them, welcome to church. Tell them, welcome to church. Please sit up in heavenly places. Those of us outside, photo booths, start coming in. Come and get your seats. Amen. A wise man once said that readers live 1,000 times before they die, but those who do not read live just once. Readers live 1,000 times before they die, but those who do not read, they live just once. The more you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you will go. So when they say you are going places, people don't just jump into places. When I read Ben Carson's book many years ago, one of the things in that book is a page, it's a chapter dedicated to book reading. I don't know if you've read that book. It's a particular book. I don't know. Is it Think Big? Yeah, Think Big. Ben Carson's book. But I remember there's a chapter on power of meditation. There's another chapter on book reading. Then in that book, for the first time, it just dawned on me. It said that those who read, they connect with the mind of ancient people, distant, those who are far. Everything that ancient and intelligent people have known, each time you pick their books and you read it, you are exposed to that level of knowledge. In other words, a person can be so ordinary today, and in the next 6 months, the person can become extraordinary just by the power of book reading. So many relationships today struggle because people are not informed. They lack knowledge. That's the simple truth. The reason a student fails, usually in an exam, is because of lack of what? Knowledge. Even God said in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed because of lack of what? Knowledge. If somebody knows something or is achieving a result that you are not achieving or doing something more than you are doing, it is said that they have an edge. And I always tell you that what gave them edge is knowledge. Because knowledge will always give you edge. Someone is seated in the examination hall and the person is so excited. The other one is sitting and sweating as soon as they see the questions. What's the difference? Knowledge. The reason people go through life in their marriage sweating is lack of knowledge. Why others are enjoying a sweet life is because of the level of investment that they have made in book reading. I said it that when I started, this is 2025, the first program that I held was 2026. So that's 19 years ago. Now, before that time, I already started reading. Are we here together? Yes, 2006. Yes, Potter's Foundation started 2006. Yes, that was the first meeting that I had. Yes, December 2006. Then by January, we had Festival of Praise, 2007. So I had started, I already started reading a lot of things, loading myself, my head. You know, the only reason I could stand before people to say something was because I thought that I knew something that I could share. And I could call the whole world to come and listen because I thought that there was something upstairs. Knowledge is powerful. Aside all the things that I will be discussing today, I want to charge you to see knowledge as an investment. When I started buying books, I came for a conference and I listened to a man of God, even Bishop Edekwu has said that in several that he would travel abroad and bought books. I'm like, I'm traveling to buy books. Should be buying something special, your kids, you know, like that. The time the wife came and said, what did you buy? And he said, books. So I started going to the bookshop to buy books. When I was a student on campus, I'll go to the other side of Yanoba. Then they usually sell books on the floor. I'll pack big books, cheap. I'll buy them. I'll buy books. Because I wanted to read. I wanted to learn. I want to know more. The reason why it always will look like a stream does not run dry. Some speakers, it looks like the stream is no longer flowing. It's because of the level of knowledge that they are pressing into. As soon as you stop pressing into knowledge, you start drying up. But if you keep pressing for knowledge, you'll be fresh. Are we here together? So I want to charge us today. Get books in this conference. Go outside there. There are books. Those books are not written because we feel like writing books. Those books are written because the only way you can document and capture ideas and thoughts that you believe can change and shape the life of people is to put it in writing. Some of the things that we share today, some of us will not remember them again. Some of us will not go back to the notes that you are carrying. You would forget the notes. It's easier for this notebook to get missing than a book to get missing. Because value is attached to it. That price, that value is attached to it. It's easier for somebody to come to your house and just throw away a note. But a book, they will look at it again. Why should we throw it away? Why? Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So go outside there. We have books that are our books. And we have books that are books of other authors that you can get outside there. Especially for this program, relationship books. Relationship books. There's some of the things that I will talk about. Today I'm not discussing for kids. I'm discussing for mature minds. So just listen. I'm discussing for mature minds. I want people who know that. And a mature mind is not, it's not age that makes a person mature necessarily. It is the mindset. That's why I said mature minds. Person can be big in body and small in mind. Person can be small in body and big in mind. Are we hearing what I'm saying? So my discussions will go around that area. So I want you to pay attention. I know that during relationship meetings, we usually have times when we laugh. I'm not sure whether I will laugh. I don't even know. I'm not sure. Me too. I don't even know what will happen today. All I know is that I have serious matter to discuss. Maybe the serious matter will make us laugh. Maybe it will make us cry. It can make us jump. Any which ways, the message has to be passed. Are we here together? So I want to charge you to tell yourself, if you have not bought books this year, now some of you will not buy books up to 50,000, 20,000. No, books are expensive now. Our own books are not too expensive, they are cheap, so you can always get and start from there. Buy books. Some of you have been deceiving yourselves. I do ebook. You are not in anything. It's Instagram, not ebook. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what people do mostly when they say they are reading books. They don't read anything. But for adventure, you're that kind of person that's used to ebooks. Very good. We still have books online that you can buy. Buy them. What every man wants, the woman, is very important. Buy it. Read it. It might just be your relationship game changer. Sometimes what you need out of 12 chapters is one chapter. Just one like this. Look at your neighbor, say one like this. One, very one like this. It can change everything, because sometimes you have already started building yourself on 1, 2, 3 subjects, but there's a particular area that you have not paid attention to. It was after somebody, I had to recommend this book to somebody who has had a divorce. It is after the divorce that she realized that she's been the problem of the relationship and she needs to learn. It doesn't have to take you divorce to learn. It just takes discipline to buy a book. And you know what? You don't know what it means for somebody to have gone through hell and the person came out alive. Then the person is saying, please, what can I read to make my life better? Buy books. That's what I'll say. The word is enough for the wise. So this year, buy books on personal development. Buy books on relationship. Buy books on leadership. Buy books on spiritual growth. Correct books. They will help you. Amen. Seven decisions that will shape your forever after. You and I know that when we come for a wedding ceremony, one of the things that we usually do will be exchange of vows. And when we exchange vows in the wedding ceremony, the groom will say some things. The bride will also say a few things. They will make covenants. And some of them are not aware. I think they think it's a recitation. It's not Bible recitation. It's what? A covenant. They will make covenants in front of the altar. And eventually that night or subsequently, they will go and seal their covenant in marriage. And start living together. Those days, they will say for better, for worse. But Gen Z has come and they say they don't want for better, for worse. Just tell us for better, for... You are deceiving yourself. Nobody is saying anything will be worse. But those who said it are saying it with an understanding that regardless of whatever and whatever... You see, that's why people cannot... They are not resilient. Because they are not built to know that anything can come. So the mindset they had when they were for better for best. If you, me too, I recite it like that for you. Abi, you've heard our own too. No words there. My own is in all circumstances. That's how I say it. And I say for better for best in all circumstances. Because the Bible says the same thing. Is that not? No things. That's how it is. But see, that deception is very high in many places, and they say it with joy. For better, for best. For best. So when they see a little challenge, they already bother. I know this is not it. Oh, this is not. Oh God, calm down. Business, just like you have business, and in doing course of your business, you have a little bit of, you know, things going like this, but you're able to build. The same way in your conversation with people, you're able to build. The same way in marriage, you have funny, you know, there, but you, because you know who you are and you have good knowledge, sufficient knowledge. The Bible says it's by knowledge that you wage war. You've been hearing it recently. People have been saying that marriage is work. You've been hearing it, is that not? And that person will come and say, there's no work. You just married 2 weeks ago. There's no work. There's no work. It's work, because as soon as two human beings from different backgrounds come together, different exposure, experience, you know, everything different, almost everything different. Sometimes the only thing holding both of you is just your faith. Yes, culture different, religion faith the same, but exposure different, upbringing different, family upbringing different, teachers that taught you different, mindsets you have different, everything coming together is a lot of work. Are we here together? So the goal of this teaching is to guide singles on the foundational decisions that determine the happiness, longevity, health, and success of their marriage. And that's why I said it's a serious business. I know those ones where we do relationship will come and laugh and say, oh, the love went here, the boo, the bee. No bee and boo today. Study to show yourself approved. Some people laugh away all those relationship meetings. When they go home, they bring anything. But today you hear things that will help you in Jesus' name. And after the session, we'll take questions. I will now pray and impart the grace to help you focus on what matters the most and avoid distractions that the enemy uses to you know, get the attention of singles, you will not be distracted. I want you to say that amen with some conviction. I say you will not be distracted. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 4. By wisdom is a house built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. By wisdom is a house built. By understanding it is established. So building, you know, a house here, yeah, now it's not talking about just a physical structure as it were. Let's see it as a home. By wisdom it is built. By understanding it will be established. It will have a base. Then good things will start coming. Beautiful things will start coming by what? Knowledge. Are we here together? So pay attention to wisdom tonight. I know that love is a beautiful thing. February 14th, so basically, people are everywhere talking about love, doing things that have to do with love. You know, but some of us that have been in love, you know that you, when you were coming out, you were not smiling. If you have had a heartbreak before. How many of you had the heartbreak and you're smiling? Say, oh, thank God I had a good heartbreak. Yeah, that kind of heartbreak before. Oh, I feel it. I really feel good with my heartbreak. Nobody will rest. What's wrong with you? I'm okay. But we can see that you are not okay. So love is a beautiful thing, but you need to know that there are a lot of things that it entails. Love enough does not make relationship work. We have said it over and again. There are decisions that you have to make intentionally if the relationship will work. You have to be intentional about the decision. What shapes your forever experience is not the butterflies you feel. Butterflies in my belly. Amen. That's not what will shape your forever after. Decisions that you make before, during the courtship, before you say yes, then during the courtship, then while in the marriage, there are decisions that you would have made from the beginning that you have to hold on to the very end. And there are decisions that if they are not made, they have the ability to mar the whole relationship, scatter everything. What is supposed to be a very beautiful experience? Because really, marriage is beautiful. When you're in marriage and you're having a good time in marriage, there are different seasons in marriage. It's a beautiful experience. You're sharing life with somebody. You know, you can be vulnerable. You smile. You laugh. You know, you get excited together. You have children. You see another human being looking like you. Like, wow, seriously? It's interesting. Then when God blesses you, you begin to travel everywhere around the world with your spouse. Your children are growing before your very eyes. And you're like, now maybe this. You know, it's beautiful. But decisions. And I will share with you 7 decisions. I don't know if I can finish 7 today, but let's start. Why are you laughing? Amen. So beautiful and happy relationships don't just happen by coincidence. They are results of careful decisions. Beautiful and happy relationships don't just happen by coincidence. They are results of careful decisions, intentionality. You have to pay attention. Just like businesses, you don't become a very big businessman all of a sudden by mistake, by chance, just buying and selling. There are structures, there are systems, there are decisions, there are routines, there are things that you do to ensure that the business will continue to thrive. That you made sale today doesn't mean you make tomorrow. But if you put system around it, you can make sales continuously every day. So many people fall in love without thinking. The painful truth is that even when you are unaware, you are making decisions. Indecision itself is a decision. If you fail to make decide, you have decided. Are we here together? Yes. It is in the moment of decisions that our destinies are shaped. In the moment of decisions, every decision has an outcome. Every decision will tell on your destiny. This evening now, this is a decision. Somebody else's decision is Fela Shrine this night. Somebody else's decision is Club 312 this night. 311, 412. everywhere. It's a decision. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? Someone else will decide to grow. Another person will decide not to grow. To learn or not to learn, it's a decision. Where you are today, seated where you are now, it is a decision that brought you to this level where you are in life. If you are okay with where you are, it's your decision. If you are not okay with where you are, it's your decision. So decisions are very powerful. And that's why I chose to call this particular one this year, Seven Decisions. They are decisions. 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 Don't ever forget. And these particular ones, they will shape your forever after. So they are very important decisions. It's not the decision that will determine what will happen tomorrow morning and after tomorrow morning. You know, when you decide for an event, after the event, everything is gone. Marriage is not just an event. Marriage is a life. Are we here together? So if you're making decisions, you have to be very careful. Many people are not aware. The first decision that I will talk about this morning that you must pay attention to. The decision, number one, decision that will shape your forever after. Number one, the decision to build on friendship and marry your friend. Write it down. The decision to build on friendship and marry your friend. I'll explain plenty of things to you. I'll tell you, show you seven kinds of friendships. Some of you are in some, you don't know what you are in. Many people rush into relationship based on attraction, emotions, some other external factors. They neglect the foundational thing that holds relationship. The real thing that makes two people stay together for a long time is not the attraction, because attraction will fade. I've seen it at least to an extent, a little bit, 2015 to 2009. That's 10 years. I've been with you for 10 years. Man, I can't believe I've been living with a woman for 10 years. Only me. God help my life. 10 years. Is serious? That's like a decade. Wow. Is serious. So I can talk, isn't it? When the sparks go dim, when it looks like everything is fading, when it looks like you're no longer attracted to the person you once had butterflies in your belly for, it would be the quality of friendship that both of you have. What you share together as friends. The Bible says there is a friend that even sticks closer than a brother. In other words, there is a kind of relationship you have with a friend that you may not have with a brother or a sister. That's what you'll be looking out for in somebody you want to get married to. It's not the attraction alone. It's not how much the person has. It's not tall, dark, and handsome. It's not the watermelon shape. Why are you laughing? Friendship. Look at your neighbor. Say quality friendship. Say it again. Say quality friendship. Yes, because every marriage goes through seasons. They have different seasons. The early phase of marriage, the first maybe 5-6 years, can be a little bit turbulent, because that's when you're getting to know yourselves. During marriage counseling, I'll tell people, couples, I say, don't bring your sisters or brothers to your house. They will confuse balance with marrying the wrong person. They will say, she married the wrong person. He married the wrong person. Well, that's a stage where you're what? Trying to balance. I've never lived with you before. The day I married my wife, I never lived with a woman before. I'm now living with a woman. Woo, W-O. They now add man. You're finished. If you don't know what you're doing. But when you know what you're doing, it becomes beautiful. But would we have challenges? Oh, possibly. But because you are friends. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Some of us have friends that you have been friends for the past 10 years. Is that not? Why is it that some people got married 6 months later, they scattered it? They are not friends. They are just celebrity people jumping up and down. Or they had benefits in the life of that person, and eventually they got in the relationship, they are not getting that benefit again. So they got tired.
and say, then this relationship shouldn't be here. Why? Because what I'm supposed to be getting from you, I'm not getting it. But friends already know that every relationship that will stand has to be symbiotic and not parasitic. There is something that I'm going to benefit. There's something you're going to benefit. But my focus is on you. Your focus is on me. My focus is not on me. If my focus is on me, then something will be wrong. I will do everything and force the other person to focus only on me. Qualities of a true friend. A true friend is loyal and constant. Loyal and constant. That's why the Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. A friend who sticks closer than a brother is one who remains faithful through all the seasons. In joy, in sorrow, success, failure. Somebody is there to encourage you. Somebody is there to tell you you can. Somebody is there to tell you don't give up. Somebody is there to say, I am with you. I am backing you up. And many people are in relationships. They are not hearing anything like that. The only thing they are hearing in that relationship is, you are beautiful. I like your shape. Shape? All the babies that will come out of you will take some part of the shape. That's why you see some men, when their wives are pregnant the first time, it's a very vulnerable time for many guys. They just started the journey of, you know, what enjoyment. Then you look at the woman. The lips is like this. The eyes like this. Yeah. In your mind, now me marry this one. No, it cannot be me. It cannot be me. Because most ladies are not usually beautiful in their pregnancy. Just a few. Only a few ladies find some kind of beauty when they're pregnant. Majority of the ladies. Then the person will start acting sick for like how many months? And if you are the person that hates, you are easily irritated. If you come and say, wait. Then you'll now be asking yourself, what is this? During that season, you see a lot of men will step out and they will start misbehaving. The devil will begin to put all manner of things in their minds. But if you marry your friend, you know that that's the time to be there for your friend, is that not? Because in good relationships, you now begin, somebody will now start saying, the air is smelling. So what's when you say air? You come crazy, you too, you are smelling. I say, me. You better go back away because I don't understand what they do. See, you are smelling. Everything can be smelling. All of a sudden, the person can say, I feel like eating earthworm. Where? I feel like eating porridge they cook near the toilet. Some people will stay inside the toilet. The toilet odor is their satisfaction. That's who you married. You better go. We cannot marry this marriage again. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Friendship. Time will not permit me. Let me rush to this. If somebody is truly meant for you and they really love you, they won't base their relationship on erotic things. They will base it on a faithful and constant friendship. A marriage built on friendship will stand the challenges. Why? Because it is founded on commitment, loyalty, and trust. Selflessness. You'll be selfless. You are committed. Regardless of whatever happens, I am committed to you. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yes. The reason I'm not going to another person is because I am committed to you. The reason I'm not going to let another person get my attention, despite the fact that you are the way you are, is because I am committed to you. Oh guy, you don't have some money right now, but I know that I am committed to you. I'm not saying you should marry a person that does not want to have money. You know, it's different from somebody that does not have money now, and somebody does not have plans to have money. When we get there, I'll show you one decision too that you need to make. So a couple decides to delay gratification by honoring purity, saving money, and doing other things. And because this other person feels like, see, me, I can't cope with that kind of life. I don't want that. I want to enjoy myself. You're selfish. We're talking about the future. We're talking about our children. Do you know that parenting is actually a selfless, you know, how do I call it? Selfless journey, or is it journey we call it? Yes. Everything you are doing for another person to see. And come and pluck the flower. And they'll go. And sometimes person might not even remember you. Some people are not smart enough to remember you. Are we here together? Loyalty. Protect and honor each other. Don't believe things blindly about somebody. Somebody just comes to you and they tell you about a person and you believe it. You're not a friend. A true friend will say, don't worry, I will investigate that thing. Is that what you're talking about, my friend? Don't worry. You say, now I know her. In the front of that person, you're not a friend. Because as a true friend, you will not betray your friend in front of others. You will go back first, then confirm. Do your findings, do your search. Do you know how many guys have just heard something about the girl that they are dating and just go back and just hold the clothes? You go, pop, pop. So what's that thing? Let me explain. What's that thing? She didn't even say anything. Has beaten her blue blood, the eyes like this. Then maybe 2 days later, he now got to know the truth. Oju ebolo. Honey? Then the girl will say, I still love you. I knew it was a mistake. You need help. Because if that person is a true friend, you will not attack. You will sit down. You will dialogue. I heard so thing. I know you're not this kind of person. Was he a mistake? Did it really happen? What exactly transpired? Then the person begins to open up. Then you realize that what you heard was just a rumor. Many people have broken their relationships like that because somebody that they're in relationship with is not a true friend. In fact, normally your friends, you see, the normal thing, except friends that are voracious friends, real friends don't fight. They argue. They have some more physical, like, it's hard, though. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I don't understand. Before you commit to a lifelong relationship, ask yourself, is this person a friend who sticks closer than a brother? Friendship in relationship fosters trust, companionship, mutual respect. Do they value you? Does the person value you so much that they cannot treat you anyhow? That's what a friend is. Do you love being together? Sharing things together? Having quality conversations? Do you feel safe? Because if you have a friend, you feel safe with your friend. I shouldn't be scared that my friend will scam me. I sent money to her account. She has disappeared. There's problem. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Because if it's a friend, I'm sure that you can keep my money and no problem. Do you understand? Yes. There are many times I've given my wife money. I'll just give her money. I'll forget. I don't know the one she has eaten. She knows those ones. No, she knows this one, but at least I know that if sometimes I'll just say, there's one money. She'll not say, I say, one money. I might not remember, but I just now, one money. They say, there's some money now. Say, give me details. I say, correct. I say, she know they play me, why, yo. But you see, some people. You are finished. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Do you genuinely enjoy each other's company beyond romance? Are you compatible in values? Write it down. Interests and worldview. Some people say that you don't have to have the same kind of worldview. Let me tell you, if it's the same, it's easier. If it is different, you must know the interests of this person and my own interest. Then where our interests merge. That's what holds our friendship. I might have a different interest. She has a different interest, but there's a center point where our interests will merge. That's what you'll be looking for in the relationship. What brings us together, not what pulls us apart. And that's the reason why many people who are quite young, they cannot commit to a relationship because they need to build friendship. It takes time to build friendship. It takes time to know the person that's your true friend. Number one reason why you have to build friends. Number one, it strengthens emotional connection. Friendship allows a couple to connect beyond physical attraction. Number two, it builds lasting trust. Friendship is built on honesty, openness, laying a foundation of trust that can sustain your relationship. You are authentic with your friends. I cannot form it for you. Hello? You don't form for your friend because you know that I'm not impressing you. You're my friend. This is what I have. This is what I don't have. This is who you are. This is who I am. I'm not trying to impress you. You know, usually when you just meet somebody, it starts with trying to impress the person. But after a while, when you get to the friendship level, you know that I'm not impressing you again. Oh, God. You already... Because what relationship does is that it makes you vulnerable. You begin to open up to the person. But if you cannot open up to a person after a long time, that person is not your friend. You are still scared. You are still afraid. You still feel like something is going to happen if I open up. Because true friends open up over time. Somebody holds on to their phone. You are in a courtship and you don't know the person's PIN. You don't know their phone, nothing. their password, their call, the password WhatsApp, the password message, the password screensaver, the password, the hardware and the software. In fact, you know when somebody password the hardware, that means you say, give me password near. Release it. No, as if there's something on it. That's the person you want to marry. Saying, you know, people have to have their privacy. You need help. In a true, genuine relationship, the Bible says they were both naked and they were not ashamed. I'm not afraid of showing you anything because there's nothing I'm really hiding. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Listen, don't, as I'm speaking, don't say, but I know somebody. You don't know what they are suffering. Don't compare yourself. The standard is the Bible. Me, I'm telling you what I do. My phone is here. When I put it open here now, my wife knows the password to the phone. There are times where we open phone and I will put, what do you call that, thumbprints, and the person can use double thumbprints to you too, thumbprints. Some husbands and wife are married. We're just talking about it, right? The husband and wife are married. The person doesn't even know the husband's account PIN. Do you know there are some people after their death, the family struggled for 7-8 years before they could bring out money after the children have dropped out of school already? Something that one ATM card will just swap out money and life will continue. In fact, the bank will not know anybody has died. When my dad passed on, the bank did not know till today that my dad had passed on. We just took the card, went there. Instead of going to one registry, lawyer, affidavit, it's because you are not fit, that's why I look for affidavit. If both of you are okay and the relationship is fit, you don't need all that. You know what to do. Am I making sense here? For several months, they didn't know. Till tomorrow, till she swapped out everything there. They didn't know. Now, kinds of friendship. Let me move. Number one, platonic friendship is a deep, non-romantic friendship. It's based on mutual respect, trust, and shared interest. Now, that's the regular friendship we have with our friends everywhere. Is that not? That's the regular platonic friendship that we have. Number two, it's called erotic friendship. Erotic friendship is based on sexual attraction. We meet for benefits. Alpha, where are you? I did gutter. Okay. Meet me for lagoon. Then they meet themselves. They do. And they go. The next time, babe, what's up? Alpha, I'm fine. Have you eaten? It's when he needs something that he knows whether she has eaten or not. There's an erotic friendship. They just meet, have sexual relations, satisfy their lust, and they disappear. The other person doesn't really care how many other person this one has that kind of thing with. Now, some other relationship, they care who you are doing it with, but that's all they do there. It's still erotic. It's like having an encounter with prostitutes. Have you heard things like that? The person will ask that, like, especially guys, why are we now here? No, sincerely, I'm surprised. That's why we're here. So that's why we are here. We are here unto the Lord. That's why you are here. And you are there. You better carry your slippers, put it on your head, and run. Number three, situational friendship. This friendship is developed as a result of circumstance. Two people are reading for exam together in sciences. They now started seeing signs and wonders. So during the course of the reading, when everybody has left, they now like, it's probably something's wrong. Or people are sitting together in the office, colleagues, and every time they now start touching themselves like you. So from there to now develop to erotic type of something. So after everybody has left the office, they will now start their own office. It's situation. There's nothing about it's just situational kind of thing. Now, you get what I'm saying now? And some people, as I speak now, they are in that situation. Amen. Yeah. It doesn't always last beyond that situation. Sometimes it's just because compound put them together. If the person moves, the neighbor moves, it has moved. If this other person moved from this school to another school, it has moved. This is a transfer this person from this office, it has, it's called situationship. Situational relationship. These are relationships, friendship that people have that does not make sense too. Sometimes relationship can start like that. If it is not messed up with erotic and rubbishness, it can build to something better. Do you understand? So we always meet ourselves somewhere, but we must know the things to do. Number three is toxic friendship. Number four, toxic friendship. These are the kind of friends that are manipulative, controlling, emotionally draining. They beat you. The person is competing with you. Just imagine that you're a lady and you have prospects to achieve so much in life. Then the guy is competing. So you say, I want to do it. You say, why do you want to do it? I've not done it. You want to do it. It's a friendship. Now, when I do something, you will now do. I always have to be ahead of you. And some people like that relationship. Say, it's a man now. A man has to be ahead of a woman. Now, what if the woman, something miraculously happens, she needs to get, because you have to be ahead, she'll not achieve anything. And there are some ladies also, they don't want the guy to be ahead. They are threatened that if he has too much of money, she'll be enslaved. So she will do everything, even jazz, to make sure it does not cross a particular level. Because he knows that if he crossed like this, Adideru, everybody will become slave. So she will just keep him and give him a mark where he should stay for life. We have romantic. Now, romantic friendship is a bond between two people that combines the elements of friendship, of trust, companionship, shared interest, and attraction. There's a kind of attraction, but it is not erotic necessarily. That's why when two people are in courtship, from Christian courtship, the physical attraction and chemistry part of it is what makes it romantic. It is not erotic. Please take note. Erotic relationship is that sexual things and dirty things are involved. Romantic is that the heart is leaping and the heart has to leap. There is a connection. There's chemistry. But we have not allowed physics and biology. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes, but there's still chemistry. That kind of relationship, it exists. When people get bond and they get closer to themselves from platonic relationship, usually begin to see that when it is close to marriage, the idea is that, do you want to marry somebody you are not attracted to? That's another thing. Chase what I'm saying now. So that attraction will come and it will be there, but it doesn't start with the attraction. Then there is another relationship called spiritual relationship. It's called spiritual relationship. It's a faith-based relationship. We are members of the same church. We pray together, we laugh together, we hold our hands together, we smile together. And when they share the grace, we go home. We can read Bible together. Some people have turned spiritual relationship to erotic relationship. It was helping her to read the book of Songs of Solomon. Then he started singing the Songs of Solomon. Yeah. So they started with Rekaba Yaba Baba Baba Evreme. Then from there, as they are praying, open right. Seba Raba Raba. Orege Rege. Then from the holding of the hand, they will now use this one. Shaga Baba Baba. Ayaba, ayaba. From there, their greeting will now change. Their greeting will now be Shaba Nama Nama. Satan is on your matter. A little here, a little there. The idea of that spiritual relationship is that the real thing about relationship is this. It can start in two ways. Give me that diagram now. Let me show this. Then I'll move to the next thing. I don't have to spend too much. Just keep your questions. I'll answer your questions. I'll move. Now look at this. Look at this. It's the foundation of every relationship has to, normally should be spiritual. Sometimes it might not start here, it might start from here. These two can always swap. So I didn't know you were born again. You didn't know I was born again. We met in the office. So just gisting as normal friends or somewhere, then eventually I got to know your spiritual roots. Because that's what I'll be looking for as a believer, your spiritual roots. I want to know your foundation. Because the real place you should start from is here. You know what I'm saying now? Because if it starts from here and I can't find this one, it will not work. If it starts from this place and it's not developing to this one, I will hold on until he gets here. Because we need to be friends. Then from becoming normal friends, I discover that I am attracted to this person. You know, sometimes you are friends with somebody, but you know we will not marry. Yeah. I've never seen this person as my wife or my husband. I just know that I like the way he talks. He makes me laugh. It's my, if the day the person says that, I want you go back. I'm like, Do you get what I'm trying to say here right now? Because you like that the platonic friendship is very beautiful. You're enjoying it. You didn't expect that one. But sometimes you might not be expecting it and it comes. Then you give it a thought and prayer. Then God begins to work on it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Because sometimes it happens like that. Then some other times it happens that you discover that the romantic is not showing. Don't kill yourself. If the best thing that... Now, listen. If I love this person as a friend, I need to make sure that this one also works. And this one might take little time because it is the knowledge of this person, the qualities of this person, the character of this person that begins to build this bond. That's why you cannot truly love people you don't know. You can't truly love people you don't know. Then from this knowledge, inside marriage, that's where that one is. That one is where? Inside marriage. That one is inside marriage. The next phase there is the combination of this one, this one, this one. See what it gives you? Lifelong friendship. Turn the second diagram and see what you have. So, most people start from here. I like him. My body's doing like this. Let me see. They hug. Let me see. They kiss. Let me see. Nothing good can come out of that kind of relationship. Can I tell you the truth? If your relationship started with hugging and kissing and doing many things, Satan has already started breaking the foundation of your marriage. You might not be able to go anywhere. You will need to break up, repair it as if you are just coming to know each other again, and decide things that will make sure that thing will never happen again. Because every time, I've been teaching on sex and covenants, every time you do those things, you are weakening the fabrics of your relationship and marriage, not just relationship. Let me rush through this for time's sake. So, it moves from this place, this where they start. Remember, they are waiting one day that when we marry, we will now know God. When we marry, our friendship will work. It's a lie. Doesn't work like that. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Are you sure you get what I'm saying right now? Does it make sense? Yes. So, you know your true friends by that. Let me move to... So I have many things to say, but let me move to something else. Now, let me say this. Listen. Some reasons why people go ahead to marry even when they know that they cannot feel that friendship. Number one, societal and family pressure. My mommy said I should marry, so I'm not feeling it, but one decided I should marry. So somebody said, let me do what? Marry. Number two, the person is already pregnant for you, and you have already started some sort of pregnancy, so they say, let's just continue the marriage. Are we here together? Number three, the fear of loneliness. I don't want to be lonely. So even if, and I feel like I'm getting older, I know we don't connect very well, but when we get married, we'll eventually connect. You will suffer long. You know what they call long suffering? Yes. Number four, please pay attention to this. We are physically attracted to each other, and there's chemistry. So we don't even need... friendship. When I see the person, my body does like this. It's chemistry. So let's just continue. No. When we get into the marriage, we'll be friends. No, it doesn't work like that. If friendship is not established, don't go out with the marriage, because you'll realize some things in the future. Number four, financial security. You get money. Money cannot buy happiness. It can buy the things that can make a person happy, but it cannot buy happiness. So you're attracted to somebody because of the resources the person has. What if they lose that resource tomorrow? Everything goes down again. Number two, for time's sake. Number two, are we there? Number two. The second decision, number two decision, the decision to value character over chemistry. This decision will shape your forever after. Value character over what? Chemistry. Chemistry is that physical attraction. Chemistry is the shape outside. Chemistry is our heart is leaping together. See, if somebody can come to church and they carry a microphone, as the brother is shouting like that, like a lion, he also has the potential to be a lion down. So don't just rush. Or somebody comes with an angel Sarah voice, so see, oh gee, and they are crying. They may not be crying if they leave the stage. That person might have Obi Okuta, you know, stone heart. So if you want to judge a person to marry beyond the way you feel about the person while they are on the altar, when they are singing, when they are praying, when they are leading worship, when they give opportunity to share the word of God, on a normal day, when we go out to buy something in Yanoba, when we are gisting, when we are talking normal, that's how you get to know who to marry or who not to marry. Because usually when people come and have opportunity on the altar, on the pulpit, or they're doing something spectacular, they always package themselves for it. And they act out some things that has to be acted for that purpose, that they will not act when they are off stage. So your decision to marry a guy is not because he's a prayer warrior. It's not because he's the lead singer in church. It's not because he's a pastor. He might be pastoring and still has pasture with pornography. So you have to be careful. A lady got connected with a guy that knows how to make her laugh a lot. The guy always make her laugh. The guy makes her laugh so much, so she's always excited. Anytime she's the guy, her body's just, you know, ladies like guys that make them laugh. Oh, wow. He makes me feel good. But the guy lies a lot. He makes her laugh a lot, but he lies a lot. And she knows. Then you sacrifice the fact that he makes you laugh over that line. Then tomorrow he will lie to you that he's not with A, whereas he's with another one. Then your heartbreak will start. Then you start hearing some ladies say, my chest. What's on your chest? My chest. When you were putting the guy on your chest, you don't know. Character is who a person is when nobody is watching them. Character of kindness, honesty, faithfulness, discipline. Somebody say discipline. Yes, there are qualities that will make a relationship last for a long time. Unlike chemistry, character does not fade. It grows with time. Character gets better with time. But chemistry will fade. That you are just attracted to a person is not enough. I told you today is serious matter. Are you enjoying the serious matter? Yes, my heart indicts a good matter. Chemistry can get you to the altar, but it is character that will keep the home. So chemistry can push you and somebody to the altar, but when you get to the home, what will keep you there is not chemistry. It is what? Character. Character. Look out for a guy, a lady that does not, is not a liar. You know, but you're just managing. He told hello, where are you? Me that I just reached Ikeja now. Bae, I can see you. No, there was a bus coming to Ikeja. What are you saying? That's a liar. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Liar. You're hooking around and hanging around a girl, the way she talks, the way she attacks people. That's how she will attack you. It's only a matter of time. Say, this is my mouth. It's very small. If I start, and you two say, no, she will know me. I'm the man of her life. No, they use razor to finish you. She does not greet neighbors. She's always keeping malice. She does not have friends that are females around her. She doesn't like anything that has to do with girls. She just believes that girls are whack. She has a character issue. Has to be dealt with. Deal with it. This other guy is very lonely. Nobody comes near him. He's only in his space. You are the only one that makes his heart leap. Other people are afraid. He's like a lion. Nobody comes inside the cage. Then you enter the cage. Then the lion is laughing at you. Other people from outside, they are looking at you and say, But you are the only one that is excited. People are wondering why you are excited. They only see whenever you go together, they say, They'll be shocked. You hug lion. Then every small thing, the guy will just come. I say, sir. And you see, you know, sometimes that's good English. Sir, I'm going to take you around the world. We're going to go around the world. Around the world is slap. You'll be seeing star like this around the world. You'll be seeing around the world. May God help somebody. May God help us in Jesus' name. Why is character more important? Number one, character determines how they handle challenges. Character shapes the way people react to conflicts. Some people react in pride, anger, manipulation. But if they have a good character, it will be different. Character determines how you treat each other. Character determines how you do what? Treat each other. Does the person treat you as a trash? Do they talk down on you? Do they see you as nothing? And you are still there? Or the lady sees you as, you know, sometimes we always push these things to guys, but there are ladies too like that. They are very toxic, narcissist ladies. The young girl misbehaved one time in a relationship, and when they were asking her why you did that, she said, am I the first lady to do it? She's supposed to use... I don't know what they're supposed to do, that kind of person. You're still, instead of you saying, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Even if the person is not interested again, you still beg. Even if the person is walking away from your life, you still beg and say, I'm sorry, I caused this thing myself. So then, let him walk away, Jerry. She's the first person. Am I the first person to do that kind of thing? You are comparing yourself with the congregation of all manner of people. You don't have character. Iwa. Lewa. Abi? Character. There are some men that you need to watch out for. Does he have the character of a father? Or boys still there, but the boys don't marry. Men marry. boy, still doing boy. No. Very defensive. Disloyal to authority. If they talk to him, he will not want to hear. He does not submit to anybody. His mother cannot talk to him. His father cannot talk to him. His elder, the only person that can talk to him is you. Then go so fry you. Nobody has succeeded to hold that person down and sit the person down. I was discussing with a man some time ago, and the person was saying, sir, they know that I listen to you. They will get me through you. I said, no. That shows that this person knows that I listen to you. If you tell me something, I will do it. But there are some guys who will tell you that, see, nobody. Look at the way he treats his brothers. Look at the way he treats his sisters. Look at the way he treats everybody in their family. Okay, enter your own family. And the only time he tries to grip him in your family, you just see your dad. Hi. Your dad will say, what's up, guy? How far? And he'll move. No real conversation, nothing. There are many things that guy will be hiding. He doesn't have character to sustain a relationship. Are we here together? You get to know people's character when money comes into. Some people don't have money now, that's why they're humble. If they have money, humpity first sat on the, had a great fall. They are humble because they don't have money. That's why they're just behaving. When they just have money, there's trouble. Some ladies are where they are because they don't have the kind of job they have. If they have job, you know, you're feeding a lady, she can be calm. If a lady has money more than you, you know her character. Guys, if a lady has money more than you, that's when you know her true character. Wash plate. Why are you standing there like that? You say, my love, what's up? You say, no, don't tell me that. I just paid the house rent. Are you going to sleep on the bed or on the floor? Your problem has just started. May God help us in Jesus' name. Number three. I'm rushing the other ones now. Some other time I will expound them. The decision to align your vision. Vision. I heard somebody say something like, Joyce Meyer and her husband, they're not aligned. They don't do the same thing. It's a lie. Joyce Meyer's husband is the chief administrator and custodian of every of their investments. He's the one running everything. Then the son is running another part of it. It's a family business. The man is a wisdom structure builder. The woman is the show person on the stage. So you say they are not doing the same thing and it's still working for them. It's not true. Does it mean that we have to do exactly the same thing? Maybe not necessarily, but there must be points of alignment. We must be seeing things together to a large extent. Are we here together? If you are trying to get a relationship with somebody that both of you are not seeing anything together, there's a problem. Many young people enter a relationship just because of emotion again and attraction. They are not asking themselves, what are we seeing? Are we aligning? Are we aligning? Our vision, does it align? Somebody says they want to marry a banker or oil company worker. I want somebody that is, you know, just imagine a guy talking to you and say, I really like a home where my wife is going to be very, very calm, take care of the children, just have a little side hustle. Then you know that for you as a woman, you want to travel to Dubai, you want to establish businesses, you want to run from one board meeting to another board meeting. They say you are going to do relationships to work. You are not okay. Why not tell the person that woman you are talking about, is it me? The one that will stay with the children and they will be doing small side also. You ask, you say, is it me? You say, that's a picture of my wife. You say, okay, we cannot marry. It's as simple as that. Because by the time you get into the marriage, that thing that is inside of you that wants you to do much is a natural gifting. It's an ability you cannot kill. It is so strong that if anybody puts it, it's as if they have clipped your wings for life. Why not discuss it and say, my friend, my G, my bro. I'm not that kind of woman. As a matter of fact, taking care of children is fine, but it's not priority to me. I feel like that thing can be handled in better ways. I would do it, but I see myself as a high flyer. I see myself in board meetings in Abuja. I see myself in Sheraton. I see myself in Dubai. High class meetings. Because the way I think, sir, if he says go, you go. There's somebody who is dying for your kind, that is praying in his life that this is the type I'm looking for. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So you now say, because we love ourselves now, there's nothing, so you now stay there. Then when you now get married, you now say, hello, wow, I'm in Dubai. Okay. Hello, babe, talk now. Nothing to say. Okay, bye. Sir, babe, you're not saying anything. Are you not happy for me? Happy. What do you want me to say? Good night. Good night. Satan is attacking. It's not Satan. Satan does not even know your address. You are the one that does not have understanding of the decisions you need to make that will shape your forever after. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Somebody is saying that they want, as you are dealing with the guy, he said, oh, I like children a lot. 1, 2, 3. I want to have like 13 kids. Then you, in your mind, you already tell yourself that, two. The both of you are saying it. But you know, when people are in love, they don't hear themselves. Sit down and ask, that woman that we born 13, where is she? He look, he said, is it not you? Me? Oh, be me fool. Oh, be me sorry. Oh, you are. You jab for your life. Because I cannot do 13. I don't have that power. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Yes. Yes. Listen. Let your vision align. Financial life. Fine, I'll talk about this one in another place. But let me just mention a little bit. Somebody is here. And the person's way of finance. He likes anything that is just doubly money sharp sharp. He likes Niger babes. He's always telling you story of one day. I go just hit one jackpot. Bah. When you say, babe, what are you planning so that we can have a future? He say, don't worry. We will go to worry. You're finished already. And you are that lady that you know how to save. You gather money, you're planning, you want to buy property, you want to be established, you have delay gratification, you don't spend so much, and you cannot sit down and say, wait, which money will we be using to play Kalu Kalu? Eh? Because I've seen many ladies marry such kind of men. She cannot save. He will now, some guys are very terrible. He will discover her ATM pin, swap out all her money. She will now start the journey of struggle. Do you know some ladies were doing fine until they married those kind of guys? They ended up selling body on the road. Doing very fine. But when that guy entered, every morning that comes, he will clip it. Every morning that enters, he will clip it. All the people in your family that would have supported the business, they say, we'll not support you. Why? Mumu don't enter your head. Now your husband, you will give. And all your destiny helpers disappear. Because you did not check the man you want to marry. Whether your visions concerning finances aligns. Am I talking serious matter? This is not a matter for boys and girls that saw themselves in canteen. I love you. No. I love the whole marriage. By the time you are standing face to face with a child that is dying and the money that was supposed to have used, you chronicle your life and see how you were building your finance together until somebody went to play a dangerous bet and you came to zero and your child dies, you will never forgive yourself for life. Is anybody going to say here now? Yes. So those of you that are considering marriage, do you share similar values? Consider, do you see yourself as being able to support each other's dream? Or will this person be a burden and a liability to you? You need to check. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, it says, write the vision, make it plain. My dear, I feel like, I'm not sure whether God will call me, but I think God will call me. As he sees, see as I'm following Pastor Mavis, they are calling me small already. So if I can become a pastor tomorrow, do you want to marry a pastor? No. Goodbye. Nice doing business with you. Go double. Life is not hard. Not when you now start. We now start seriously and say, we are doing the work tomorrow and the Spirit of God is already staying in your heart and you are trying to come closer. You now say, this one you and pastor are getting too close these days. This one pastor is calling you every time. Did I not tell you from the beginning that the way it is going, I don't know whether I have a call or a missed call, but if pastor call me, we are called. I'm just waiting. A woman got angry one day. A man of God was sharing, and she told the pastor, "He said I did not marry a pastor. He's a banker. You will resign." And she stood and made up her mind that the marriage will crash, matter what he did. That's what she stopped pastoring his suffering and poverty. So she said, "I didn't come here to suffer. I know what you are earning." No, you now stop the woman friend me. Very proud person. She frustrated everything until he scattered. Who do you want to marry? Do you know them apart from that attraction? So you see that sometimes you cannot even be talking of marriage first until there is sufficient knowledge of the decisions that will shape your forever after. I'll take one more. I'll close this night. Take questions. Are you being blessed? The last one I'll take this night. On Sunday, I'm going to continue somehow. I'll merge the couple's message and the single's message on Sunday. Do we understand? Merge it to find the balance. Then number one, powerful. The decision to prioritize God above all. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look just like you. You need to come to that point where you ask yourself questions. I have seen questions, I've seen marriages crumble because they try to replace God with their spouse. Eli, God said to Eli, you try to replace your children with me. Ah, you will die. Eh? Whoever will follow me, let him deny himself. Deny father, mother, brother, sister. Take up his cross and do what? Follow me. The place of God cannot be debated in your life. After God, then any other person. But if any other person stays in the place of God, they will be crushed to powder. And you are the one that will cause that pain in your heart. Because you need to discuss with that person and let the person know the place that God occupies in your life. What book are we going to use to run this marriage? What will be the manual for this marriage? What will be the standard for this marriage? Will God be at the center of this marriage? If we are making decisions, we will be comparing ourselves with Beyonce and with somebody somewhere. Or we are going to be saying we are comparing ourselves with the spirit of just men made perfect. Are we going to be looking at Abraham, our father, and Sarah, our mother? Or we are going to be looking at somebody else? What will be the standard and the gauge? These are decisions that will shape your forever after. Why? Children will grow in that relationship and they will model what they see. They now see that the mother doesn't value God. The father doesn't value God. Go and ask Kachikuma. As soon as that man became more important in her life, her ministry went down to 0.0. Only God has to be the first before any other thing. Some people are so excited about their marriage. They are so excited. Somebody will drive you. As they are coming, he will drive you to church on Sunday. Then you go and hang out with the guys Sunday morning too. On Friday night, you are going to vigil. He's going to club. The ladies are going to be there. Say, it's no ladies, not guys. I'm hanging with guys. You are not very okay yet, but you'll be okay like that alone. If you accommodate that kind of thing, you're not okay. The reason is because you need to see it already. That this person does not prioritize God. He doesn't see God as priority. A lady does not see God as priority. A guy that does not see God as priority. Ask yourself, does our path really cross? Have I not seen people that were serving God very well until they got married? Their Christianity now became rubbish. Then the lady's crying and saying, God, will I be able to find you again? And the man is a stumbling block between herself and God. She has found another God. You will not find another God, though. Yes. God must be the center. The word of God must determine the things you do in your relationship and your marriage. God's word, will, standard must set the foundation for you as couples. Prayer must be an essential part of your relationship. How do we make decisions? We pray. How do we make decisions? We consult scripture. How do we make decisions? We seek the face of God. That's how we make decisions. Can you fast together? Or you want to fast? The person is saying they fast. I go join you. You see where the problem comes. And there's a bond between husband and wife that God loves. But that person is saying, I'm not willing to do this thing with you. I beg, forget. And you say, we have chemistry. What are you sacrificing? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Yes. God's presence must be prioritized in your marriage. Purity must be up. It's because of God. That's why Joseph said, how will I do this thing and sin against God? You will not be there. You cannot be following every guy. Some ladies have turned to you, which they are doing monitoring spirits. Monitoring spirit. That's the assignment now. Any small move the guy makes, I monitor. Ready to go. You cannot monitor a man that wants to misbehave. Who are you? Man. The Bible says, oh man. When Bible describes man, it says, a faithful man who can find. Then you now woke up and say that, I'm very smart. I've been watching his phone. Man, when the Bible wants to beat you, does not need phone. What is phone? So this is where you used to determine whether your guy is cheating or not. You don't know what to do. You don't know what you're doing. You can't determine whether a man is cheating here or not. If a man wants to cheat, he cheats. When a man does not know God, he can go wild. But when a man knows God, the fear of God in his heart, he will be the one coming back to tell you that a particular lady nearly kissed me today. She rushed on me, but I stopped her. You say, wow, seriously, what happened? Then we explain. She's been looking at me crazily in the office. I observed that she's so particular. As I was just coming out of the toilet, she just stretched her hand and hugged me. I thought that was just all. As I was trying to come out, the mouth was coming. He will give you the drama. Thank God. You too, you trust him. You say, thank God. But if Somebody you don't trust, say, ah, a lady nearly hugged me. She said, I want to buy a house. Want to buy a house. Mama, continue. So. I know already, because you know you don't even trust the person. Are you getting what I'm saying here, church? Yes. So love is not everything. The fear of God in your relationship will matter. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where both partners fear God, it will influence how they treat each other. It will influence how the children will grow in that marriage. It will influence the character of the children, the behavior of the children, the lifestyle and the aroma of that family. The deep, see, whether you'll be having demons in your marriage or you'll be having angels is determined by whose presence you prioritize. There are some families, that place has become the den of wild beasts. Quarrel, bitterness, depression, malice, sexuality, everything, incest. A man that can be sleeping with your children is they have trained him from hellfire. See, that you are not sure your friend is visiting tonight, and when your friend is visiting, you tell your friend, enter, babe, now me go lock down. Now there you go, there. Now tomorrow morning I go open door for you. Say, why? Why now? Say, no, for our house, something they were kind in the night, so we did lock door for people waiting inside. Because you know that the thing with the waka in the night, Arusi Nejuka. May God help us in Jesus' name. Did you hear what I said? You cannot hear it. Don't need to hear it. These are demon spirits walking at night. How would you wake up at night and you leave your wife and enter the same house of your matrimonial vow and slept with your wife's friend? Sleep with your... A guy was chasing the wife's younger sister. The girl called and said, Pastor, I'm tired. I said, what's that? My sister's husband, I can't tell her because he's a deacon. I can't tell her. In fact, one was a pastor. See, if I tell my sister, she will never believe. I said, find a way, carry your bag, and leave. There was a time a lady, when I was unmarried, a lady wanted to come and stay with me in my house. But I couldn't allow her then because I was not married. Why? Her father used to disturb her every time the mother leaves the house. The father is her major problem. He'll be running after her. Imagine again running from the room. Say, Daddy, if you mean let, Daddy, please. Just he'll be running up and down. The father will be chasing her. She was begging to come, and she doesn't mind to stay with another single man. In fact, what she said is that she doesn't mind another single man sleeping with her than her father. Know who you marry. Some people, something is in their blood. If you are the one that is feeding his flesh with it now, the day he does not see you, he will still feed his flesh. If you cannot tell him no, if you say no and say, I will do it elsewhere, say, go, you don't belong to me. But if you say no and he says, is this how we continue? Yes, I will continue. It is part of your training for reigning. You must learn how to hold yourself. It's called self-control. You say, what are we in this relationship for? Say, we are in the relationship for Jesus. Until the Lord shall the guardian of his people be. If you don't want to do it again, goodbye. Have I helped somebody here? So with these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you. Thank you. Praise God. I'll take questions now. Please put it on the screen very fast. I'll take questions tonight. Please send in your questions very fast. I usually like question and answer time. It's really more. I feel like it gives me more. So I'll take a few questions tonight. Tomorrow is going to be for married people. If you know married people that need to be here, bring them. I have, how many points did I give you today? 4. Okay. The other 3, they are very, very. I will work on those 3 on Sunday, hopefully. Then for the married people, we'll do their own. Where are the questions? Questions, please, very fast. Questions. How are we answering the questions? I know my wife will answer some of the questions too. So let's do it very fast so that we can answer the questions together. We can get both perspectives. Yeah. Did you enjoy this meeting today? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Somebody is you have gained wisdom that will sustain forever. It's not forever after. Marriage is not I'm tired, I'm not doing it again. Divorce is hard though. If you see the person you divorce succeeding, you will nearly retake your chest, remove it and die. And sometimes the person will succeed and do well. Especially if they are very good at business. The divorce does not mean they will not succeed in business. Can still be flying around the world. Yes, please give the microphone. people, so I ask questions. They can still send the link. Other people who want to use the link can use it.
Thank you very much, Pastor Sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. My question is, what are the basic things to avoid while building a God-given relationship early to marriage?
What are the basic things to
avoid while building a God-given relationship early to marriage?
Okay, yes. Basic things to avoid, some of them fall in the decisions that I've already shared with you already. Yes, some of the things you want to avoid when you are building a godly relationship is you want to avoid anything that has to do with immorality. That's number one. God is not interested in that. Now, sometimes when we say those things, people feel like, see all the people where they do the same thing. Nothing happened to them. Have you forgotten the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? God left them until their core became what? Fool. Some people will not suffer the shame of sexual immorality now. It is in marriage. Some people, the pain of their judgment is to see their daughter carry their husband's child. It's judgment. Those things are judgment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those things are what? Judgment. Some things in life, they are judgments that people will live with all their lives. That your daughter is carrying your husband's child. That your friend is carrying your husband's child. They are judgments. Some men, the judgments that they will live with all their life is that they will see what their son will become. The rotten version of them, when they have changed, their son will be special version in training. It's a judgment. The judgment. I wish I could explain this thing in a different way for us, but some of us don't know that judgment comes in different ways. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, you will reap. But if you genuinely repent and turn to God, and God sees your heart, the mercy of God always prevails. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. I know the mercy of God prevails. So that sometimes some things will happen, but you will find strength to go through them. It doesn't mean some things will not still happen. I'm telling you the truth. Anybody can preach otherwise. God told Paul, he said, the things that you will suffer for me. Why? Paul had made many Christians suffer. And child, Paul suffered. He preached the gospel, but he did what? He suffered. Read the story. The way he beat people, slap people, they beat him like that. One friend, Al-Bufeku. But he still preached the gospel. Amen? Yes. You know the problem with Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament is full of stories. New Testament, we don't see the stories. Many of us don't know the children of Peter. You don't know the children of Philip. You don't know the children of all those people, the life they lived and the things that happened to them. But in Old Testament, we know everybody's story. So that's why some people can rant and talk plenty of things. We just laugh and say, no problem. Next question, please. But that's basic. That's basic things that you want to avoid. You want to avoid. You want to avoid heated arguments. So if you notice that people are always arguing too much. See, friction is a sign. Constant argument is a sign that there's friction. And friction is a sign that there will be wear and tear. Does it mean that there will not be small arguments or slight arguments? But there's a raising of hand, a slapping, or a shouting that makes you break things. The reason they broke that thing on the floor, now your head for land, is because bride price has not been paid. So you cannot break a television you have not paid for. When the person pays, there will be freedom of breaking. So if somebody breaks their laptop or breaks their phone, when they are angry with you, they slap the floor. Carry your bag around. Character over chemistry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A lady, you are talking to a lady that you want to marry, and she flare up. As soon as she flare up, she carry the eagle claws and start running after you like this, running after you like this. Body, bebag, consalo. Peace of mind is important. Next question.
Yes. Good evening, sir. This person says, sir, I'm in a toxic relationship. How do I go about it?
Why are you saying this? The person has answered a very sincere, asks a very sincere question. So let's sit down and answer this once. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Can you get some? So, she's in a toxic relationship. What? Let's see if we put the angel like this for house in life. Don't better. See my life. Kai. See my life. Church, see my life.
Only me. Ah, I am the one you are showing mercy. But sincerely, my wife's smile is dangerous. She got blue. Okay. So, this person is saying that she's in a lady. She's in a toxic relationship. What are we going to advise her to do right now? Now, a toxic relationship means that either it's physically abusive or emotionally abusive, you know, or maybe the person just abusive relationship or manipulative relationship. Yes. So what would you advise a lady to do?
Is that a journey she can walk alone? Because there are questions to be answered. If there's sex involved, it's a lot. That a lot of bonding to break out may not be easy. But I'm glad for you to come out to say that it's a toxic one and you really want to get out. So you need to work with a counselor who's going to work with that journey. Then make up your mind that you are really never going to go back. Consider the consequences of staying in that relationship, what it will do to you, and the benefit of living. I think that's one of the things that can motivate you to be able to walk away and never look back. Consequences of staying, of remaining there, and then the benefit if you leave, what your life will look like if you do leave that relationship.
Now, being in a toxic relationship, let me add to it, is like you are in a room and they just what they call it, spray insecticide. The normal thing you're supposed to do is to do what? Come out. Some things to do, what to be conscious of, because the person will still want you. If the person is benefiting from the relationship, the person will do everything to keep you. Sometimes you hear things like, who will marry you? You. I don't see everything for everybody. You got nothing there, but you can't be. So all those things will begin to get your mind to the point where you feel like you're not important, you're not valuable, you're not useful, but don't see yourself that way. See yourself the way God sees you. Now that you are aware of these things, the first thing is to get born again, get rooted in God, get your heart soaked in the things of God. Then you discover that your attachment to God will begin to disconnect that tie gradually. Then if the person has moved you away from your family members, your friends and everybody, get back to those people. Because to break one tie, you might need to get another tie. So you might need your family tie right now, or your solid friends that you have left and all that. You need to reborn. So that's just it. Thank you.
Very much, sir and ma. Now, there are two questions here about sex in a relationship. The first says, thank you so much, PM, sir. My question is, if you are in I am in a relationship and my boyfriend is a worldly guy, but he's intentional about me. But sometimes he requests for sex and I always declined it. Should I wait or should I just leave him? The second says, I am sexually active with my girl, but I do love her and I know it. I want to marry her. How can we rebuild our relationship?
Okay. Now, I like the fact that you're asking questions like that. The one that has to do with I'm sexually involved, how can we rebuild it? The first thing I'll say is that Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Do you understand? So the first thing is that you need to come to understand the impact of sexual relationship on your life, how God sees it, the negative consequences, the things that it can eventually bring into your life. Are we getting what I'm saying now? So when you see that, you are holding on to something already. So you will dissolve that relationship first and go on this sabbatical, we'll call it. You need to fast, you need to pray, you need to build spiritual stamina. Because when people have become sexually active, to break away, there must be a greater love. You must find something you love more than that. Something you can sacrifice for, that sex for. And it has to be the relationship with God. It has to be a union with God that is solid. A conviction based on what God has said about it that will build that energy that will make you stay away. So the first thing you need to know is that if you have had sexual relationship with somebody you want to get married to, even if it is once, you need to break that relationship first and start again. I know why I'm saying that. Your marriage is on a time bomb. Your marriage has a crack. Satan will enter. A pattern is set. So scatter the relationship and start on God and say, this pattern has been dissolved. We are starting afresh. And hold on to that. It will really help you. That's on that side. My wife answered the second one. What's the second one?
I am sexually active with my girl, but I love her and I want to marry her.
I've answered that.
What should we do? Oh, the second one is, she has a relationship, the man is not a Christian.
Yes.
And she's all constantly asking for sex. She's asking if she should wait or leave him.
Okay, what you should do is to, it depends. Okay, you already said that this person is worldly, meaning that your spiritual values don't even align. So you can actually not do life with that person. I mean, we're talking about, yeah, about the rest of your life. It's not 2 years, not 3 years, not 4 years, not 5 years. Like the rest, maybe 100 years, 70 years, you know, a lot of your years. So what to do with that person? You cannot stay with that person. If that person is not born again, you cannot do life with that person. And that person should not be born again because of you, because you will not be enough to sustain that person. So, should you come out of that relationship? Yes. Because already he's asking for something that God says he wants you to keep. So, that already shows that you cannot do life with that person. So come out of that relationship and love up on God and build. And God will give you one of his sons who does value sexual purity. So, allow that person be. Because sometimes I look at this as, should I say ojukokoro? I mean, why do you leave all of God's sons? I want to choose, I'm sorry, the son of the devil as your son. I mean, the devil will become your father-in-law. It's as simple as that. That's it. Because you choose somebody who's not a son of God. Why do you leave all of God's sons? It's like going to take what is not yours. Don't you like to have God as a father-in-law? Don't you like to marry someone where his head is touching sometimes and you go to God in prayer and say, come and talk to your son. I don't understand what he's doing. And God speaks to him in private. You're not treating this girl well. And then you will connect and say, I'm sorry about that. But you want to stay with somebody that the devil will be giving ideas. Say, baletzi, fuleshe. And that's what you want to be with? No, you don't want to be with that kind of a person. So, my admonishment to you is to leave that relationship. God has somebody reserved for you. You might have been with that person for a while, but let that person become born again. Find God because they need God, not because of you. So, don't be selfish and want to remain there. Consider their own journey of salvation and eternity and not about you. So, let that person.
Can I add to it? I think another thing you need to know is that marriage is a ministry. Marriage is not for you to come together. Marriage is for you to do God together. The original plan and purpose of God for marriage is that husband and wife will come and the kingdom of God will be established. You cannot establish kingdom with that person because the person is not a kingdom person. So the reason we marry Christians is not because religion says so. It's because in the plan of God, he wants the kingdom to come. Thy will be done on earth. So, for God's will to be established on earth, it must be somebody who is within the confine of the will of God. And that person that was a Christian. And even a Christian, not every Christian, like I have said to you. So, imagine you going for an unbeliever totally. That's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. So, you need to come to understand that marriage and relationship is kingdom. That's why every believer is supposed to marry a fellow believer. And they will do things that believers do together. Expand the kingdom. Raise children that will be kingdom ambassadors. That's why we get married.
Sir and Ma. Now, there are two questions about age. The first is, how do I know when it's the right age to be in a relationship? The second is, I am single and I've never been in a relationship. But people around me keep making it seem as though it's a crime. And they think it's not normal for me to not be in a relationship. A friend even advised me earlier today to get myself into one. But I am the only one who knows. What should I do? Who knows why she's not in a relationship?
Okay. What I will say to that is this. I just said it here. You should not get into relationship under pressure. One of the things that make people get into relationship instead of building friendship is pressure from friends, from family, from everybody. Your mommy will not most likely not be alive to see what your marriage will really look like. She would have finished her time and would have gone. The slaps, she will not know. The beatings, she will not know. The poverty, the pain, the shame, the embarrassment, she will not know. So don't let your mom or your dad force you. Then your friends, they will be with somebody else doing their own too. In relationship with you and that person that you have chosen. So think of it very well. If nobody has come to you, nobody is reaching out to you, keep praying. Maybe God is trying to make you wait a little bit. Please always remember that there's something about the purpose and the counsel of God when it comes to marriage and relationship. Some people will never marry early. Yeah. It is not in the will of God for them to marry early. Maybe one of these days I will teach us 7 reasons why people never get married early. Sometimes one of the reasons people will never get married early is because it is not in the confines of the will of God. In fact, some people are not supposed to marry at all. But they are not aware. They are not paying attention. They just moved. with every other person. Apostle Paul didn't get married at all, and he could manage it. He could cope with it. Marriage is not compulsory for everybody. But let it not be that you are afraid of marriage because of the experiences you have seen. Let it be that you discover that within yourself you are an Enoch and you just don't sense the need. And there's nothing wrong with you. You are just passionate about God, so consumed with God that your urges are not waking up. You don't know why, but you are prayed and fasted. Stay where you are. Maybe God has put your urge on pause. The day he activates your urge and you see one person, you can turn upside down like this. So don't be in a hurry. And anybody saying whatever they want to say, let them say it. Remember, Elizabeth and Zachariah, they served God faithfully. They did not commit sin. They were wonderful. They didn't have children. For whatever reason. Cannot explain. But the Bible says that somehow Elizabeth had to wait for Mary. Because the child Elizabeth was carrying will be the forerunner of Mary's own child. And Mary's own child cannot come now. So Elizabeth has to wait. Some of people will have to wait for something about to happen in God's plan and purpose. So don't be in a hurry.
Very much, sir. Sir, this person says, what should those who have had sex with different guys before encountering Jesus know about sexual purity?
Very good. You want to say something, baby? Go ahead. Go ahead.
The question again, please. The question again.
What should those who have had sex with different guys before encountering Jesus know about sexual purity?
Like one of the things to know about sexual purity is that sexual purity is God's will. Actually, that's one of the strongest things about sexual purity. It's God's will. It's not just the idea of man. It's not just about not having diseases or all of those things. Those things are part of it. But the strongest is that it is God's will for you. All right. So when you know that, you are able to fight temptation, that this is God's will. From 1 Thessalonians, I think, 4 from verse 3 to 5, talks about it being God's will. God saying to you that this is your own sanctification. Keep yourself for me. All right. So it is God's will for you. Know that about sexual purity, that it is God's will. It is God's will. That's the most important thing. Other things can come about. The fact that when you're not sexually pure, it affects your relationship. You're not building trust. So when you get married, you'll be suspecting your partner because of the kind of life you've lived. Another thing you should know is that when you are sexually pure, it helps your mind think about everything pure. So you begin to build your mind and feed your mind. As Philippians 4, it says that you should think on these things. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure. Those are things that you should begin to occupy your mind with. So sexual purity is God's will for you. When that light dawns on you, you will know that it's God's will for you. So it's not just about what we are saying. It's about the fact that this is what God wants for me. And whatever God wants is what you should want. Yes. So it's good to keep sexual purity in mind, that it's God's will for you. And then begin to follow what sexual purity would do for you. And how to get about it. So work on your mind. There's this principle of elimination by substitution. So you take off some things and replace them. So you cannot work in sexual purity after you've been in such relationship with being sexually active if you don't substitute it with something else. So you're no longer in this kind of relationship. You're repented. Then what next? So begin to feed your mind with godly content. It means that you can no longer watch movies where they are kissing. As simple as that, because it can be a trigger. You can no longer watch romantic songs. That a lot of things you can no longer do anymore if you want to stay on the path of sexual purity. Sexual purity is God's will for you. It's God's design for you. It's God's package for you. It's God's desire for you. So follow that path.
Yes, and our advice that you listen to the message I started teaching recently. Just follow the series, the first part, the second part. Follow this Sunday, then follow next week. When you read the full packet, then you can go to the book, 40 Days Devotional. Yes, Walking in Freedom. Read through. You will see a lot of, in fact, you need to stay and soak on that devotional. Then there's another book, Overcoming Sexual. I just started reading that book last 3 days or 4 days ago, and I was telling my wife, When did I write all these things? I was really amazed at the things I was reading from the book again. You know, so I think you need to get it. The back of the book is not looking beautiful, but the inside is very beautiful. So just go and buy the book and read it.
Thank you very much, sir. Now, this person, there are two questions about masturbation and pornography. The first, curious question. Is someone who stopped masturbating but have never slept with a guy, can she call herself a virgin?
Okay, the person was once masturbating but has never slept with a guy. Well, the truth is that people say that they have what they call primary virgins and secondary virgins. I don't know what all that really is, although somehow I tend to agree and disagree. Do you understand? I tend to agree and disagree.
But the truth is this: if you have been masturbating before and you have never had sexual relationship with a person before, now you want to say that you have been sexually, you are not even molested. You are the one that did that on yourself. Yes. So people can disvirgin themselves. That's true. But right now, you can explain to the person who needs to know it. Not everybody needs to know that. Not everybody will be asking you that kind of question. So whether you want to know whether you're a virgin, your knowledge of whether you're a virgin or not doesn't sanctify you more or make you more holy. So that is not the question. The question is, which way forward to keeping myself continuously pure without having to do this thing again? So maybe you want to even start bragging that I'm a virgin and God doesn't want you to brag. So leave the bragging and just continue in purity and stay there. If the person you want to marry in future asks that kind of question, tell him what happened. Simply, I wish to masturbate, but I stopped. So if he sees you as a virgin, fine. If he does not see you, congratulations to him. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes, so that's it. So it shouldn't bother you.
Very well, sir. Now this says, how do I help my brother who is addicted to pornography and masturbation? I've been praying for him and spoke to him about it as I've caught him several times doing it.
Okay. I think one of the things you can do is to... Prayer is good, actually. Yes, prayer does help. But you need to take it a step further when the help is no longer on your hands, all right? You can get them the book PM just talked about, Walking in Freedom. Gift it to him, all right? Gift it to him. But you may not have the capacity to help him walk out of it. And most times, when people are siblings, you know, see finishes to enter. And so they don't really regard what you say sometimes. But a good way to help, pray, that's very important. I cannot underestimate, undermine the power of prayer. But then get him that kind of a book that can help him walk a 40 days journey of intentionality. Overcoming sexual temptation is also that's a gift you can give to that person. By yourself, there may not be so much you can do, but you shouldn't stop talking. But you feel like you have spoken to the ends, and then this person is no longer listening. Gifting them something shows that you value them and you really want to help them. You know how they say actions speak louder than words. So go that extra mile to give that person this, and then let's trust that the person finds light and connection with God.
Okay, let me add to that. Now, when somebody masturbating, they are like somebody who is into drug addiction or somebody who is a drunk. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same part of the brain that it affects. They are not thinking normal again. When the person is doing pornography, they don't think normal again. It's just like a drug addict. It is the same part. So sometimes people usually think that if you stop and when I like, try. See, the people, they can't. They can't. So why? If you read that book, pornography rewires the brain. It puts satisfaction on the act and tells the brain. That's what it's doing. You know, when you are reprogramming something, their brain, know it that from today, the only way you find satisfaction is to see more of this. The more of it you see, the more satisfied you become. You can never find satisfaction in something else than this. It's a rewiring. It's like somebody coding computer programs. So each time you watch, your brain is rewired to believe that this is where satisfaction is. Then when you get married and they are having real sexual relations, your brain cannot hold this one. Because what you got from this one has reconfigured your brain as the ultimate. That is why people in marriage, young people, listen. People in marriage are crying about masturbation too. You may not just be aware. They started it since. That's why, see a counselor. There's a spirit behind masturbation. Then there is the addiction part that needs to be dealt with. There are two things. The spirit of perversion, then the spirit of lust. Then, because masturbation goes with pornography many of the times. Then you will now need to talk with the counselor that will help you, you know, open up the consequences, the things, what it can do. Or you read the book, then anything that starves the flesh will empower the spirit. You might engage a 30 days, 40 days fasting. Stay there. If you really want to break up, stay there. That book, you take it and start a 40 days journey and say, I will not ruin my marriage. Do you know that your child can see pornography on your phone and become a master pornographer more than you? A girl started because of her mother. She saw it on her mother's phone and her journey started. Her mother was exchanging pornographic material with another woman in church. So you see that Satan is mad. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So you will need to see a counselor, like she has said. You need to feast then spiritual assignment to deaden the flesh
and awaken the spirit. While you are doing this search and renewing your mind, stay on fasting. I advise that because I know what fasting does. Fasting will pull you out of the flesh and expose you to God in a special way. Do you understand what I'm saying now? It will help a lot. Help. Then stay in the community of believers. Avoid the triggers. The book will teach you many other things that you can do within the 40 days.
Very well, sir. Thank you so much, sir and ma. Now, this person says, please, sir, I have a bit of confusion with dating and courtship. Does courtship come after proposal or before?
Does courtship come after proposal or before? Well, from the day you said yes, you know, the thing is, because people do all of this talking stage and then they get another stage, another stage, another stage. The day you say, I love you, you love me, can we do life together? I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. Courtship has started.
Straight.
There's it's nothing because, like... people are doing talking stage, wanting stage. That's
now they deceive us.
The day my husband proposed to me, it was just a very simple proposal.
Very
simple. It's conversation. And that's it. So it's not about the drama. That's when the proposal starts. The day it brings the ring, like, as if you never knew.
I didn't do drama. No drama. Sit
it's
down.
It's not.
I have a conversation with
it
you.
It was a real conversation. Like, this are the stuff. This, that. Are you ready to
can
go
you remember
this
the things I said?
I don't remember everything.
That means I don't strike. Just start strike like a shaka.
Like, are you really ready to do life with me? When we talked about what the future will look like if we're together. And the question was, are you ready? And I said yes. So proposal actually starts, courtship starts from the time you say yes to that relationship. So that means that you cannot be doing trial and error relationship. I think that's where confusion comes in. So you don't really know whether you started or not. If you know that you want to be with this person and do the rest of your life with this person, courtship started already.
Is that somebody sits down here now and he sees her and he says, I love you. I'm interested to do the rest of my life with you. And she said, wow, I think it is mutual. As soon as you say it is mutual, both of you have started courtship. Whether pastor knows or anybody does not know, you have started courtship. But when you say, hold on, I need to pray about it, you have taken a break. Then you seek counsel, seek everything, then you can come back and give an answer. But the point you say, it is mutual, I love you the way you love me, you have started courtship. Everything you were doing before that time is friendship. You were just friends. People usually call it going out on a date. Now, on a date means that we are going out to talk. I'm just meeting you. Then you are asking me questions. I don't understand the question. So I'm asking you, why this question? Why? Then some girls are very bold. Are you interested in me? I don't know. I don't have power for all these things. Then the guy too that is bold. Yes. I say, I like you. Okay. Give me some time. Do you understand? But some people are not very bold. They will beat around the bush. They like drama. Then after the drama, they will now open up. It's different. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So I did not have to do all those kind of things. At the point, she already knew in her heart from somewhere. I don't know who told her. I said God told her. But me, I took my time and I prayed. I fasted. I did fasting well. No, if I fear je, she, Babalola fear je, no, if I fear je. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So I prayed. I fasted. She had been praying. She's been fasting. So she got her confirmation. So at the point I was talking to her, it was already like, oh, yeah, I've seen you. So, where are we going from here now? I said, okay, no problem, we'll continue. So, immediately I finished the discussion with her. It was less than 5 or 10 minutes. The discussion was ended, she had left. I moved, I started saying, thank you, Jesus. It has worked like that. It wasn't too long. But I usually see her in program, we talk, with Jesus. I've asked her questions indirectly, I've seen some things, I've observed her, watched her character, she's been working with us in the foundation, so I've seen her person, she's been dealing with other people, you know, like that, you know, many things. So I took my time to see the person, then we started talking. I'll send gifts to her through a friend, you know, when she's going, yeah, just send gifts. Yes, it's good to tell you the truth. So I send gifts, I say, I will give the friend, the lady one. I'll say, this is for you. Help me give this person when you get to school. She will say, okay. She will give her. So maybe those are the things she was receiving in the dream. And she now agree. I don't know. But eventually, here we are.
Praise God. Thank you so much, sir. And Matt. Now this person says, I don't have any commitment.
How many questions can we take now? Just one or two. This time.
Two.
I don't have any urge for commitment, relationship, or marriage. What could be wrong and what can be done?
You don't have any urge for commitment to relationship or marriage.
The first.
Then stay committed to God. It might be a season of your life. God wants you to just stay with Him. If you know you have not had abusive relationships that have altered your mind, not like anything in the past is disturbing you. Like, I've seen bad marriages, so that's affected my mind. No. You just know that you don't feel any connection yet. Stay with God. You know that sometimes God takes you away from some things. It's protection, no? It's preservation, no? You need to know that sometimes God takes you away from some things just to protect and preserve you for a purpose that He has in mind. Do you get what I'm trying to say here now? Yes, so I think you just continue with God, build connection with Him. One day, if there's any way He has kept your Eve, He will show her and activate you. So when you're activated, you start seeing woman.
So this person says, we've been together for 2 years and only discovered we are both AS. Before finding out, we've prayed and fasted about the relationship with pastors and God go ahead. What should we do?
Don't go ahead.
Let the miracle happen first.
Yes, let me explain. Listen, part of the things I would have told us is also this. Part of the reasons people don't build on friendship and they enter relationship marriage is because I hate God. You heard God about a particular person. You are not connecting as friends. You are not seeing the connection. 1 year, no connection. 1 year, 6 months, no connection. Forget. Go and test your hearing God again. Even if a prophet told you you are meant for each other, calm down. The prophet will not live with both of you. Go and sit with God and say, God, I want to hear you by myself. I'm not feeling that we are friends. See, courtship is the testing phase. Anything that you cannot prove in courtship, don't go for it in marriage. Courtship is the proof. Courtship is where it can still break. Courtship is where you can still look at and say, guy, we are not talking. Every time, you people call, and when you call, hello, hello, Alpha, don't have anything to say? Okay, good night. Then you call. Sometimes you just fight. Good night. See, you cannot marry yourself. When people are in love, these are the sleep. Baby Alpha. Okay. What happened today? Ah. Last stupid man. He will sleep off like that and wake up the next morning. Then the next morning, the credit has finished. He mistakenly left it on you. The one, you two, you slept off. Both of you slept off. You wake up, buy credit again and call. You don't know what love is yet. If you are connected to yourselves well, even if he's busy, he's doing heavy duty work, he will be on call with you tired and say, tomorrow baby, we'll talk. There is something, if many waters cannot quench love, then you people are there, you don't talk. Sometimes just say, why did you not call me? I did not call you. Now I don't just feel like calling you. You cannot not feel like calling the person. If it's love, you don't know love. Love, they do person something. I said sometimes I'll be just with my babe like this, and I will just feel like staying there. It's heaven to me. I discover that sometimes I can't even pray 2 hours, but we can talk 2 hours. I say, God, forgive me. Long to real long. Dari Jimmy Eshemi Bayo. You don't understand. Then you are there. You will talk. It's not working. And I say, leave me. I don't want to hear your voice again. Cut the call. You survive 2 weeks without talking to somebody. You don't know what love is. I'm under pressure already. My body don't do like this. Say, waiting. We need to see. Let me find trouble. Let somebody find trouble. Somebody has to talk to somebody today. Your body is not at rest. You don't know what love is. If it's in marriage, people keep malice. But when in relationship that is hot, no. It is the height of it. It has to be like, the person has to be so passionate about you that they are almost obsessed. I don't want to say obsession is extreme, but passion. Passionate about you. Passionate. That's how you prove the love. If the person is not passionate about you, they might leave you anytime. When things are tough, the person will leave you. Are you what I'm saying now? Yes.
Final question.
A-S-A-S.
Yes.
Separate. Like I said, you don't want any child. Let me tell you something. Hello. So, like I said, it's because people say God said. God is not an author of confusion. If God has said He will heal one person and make the person AA with proof and evidence, then we can go. And you can pray it if you want to.
But while you are praying it, if it has not changed, don't marry. If you pray and it changes, in fact, you are the one that you are proven to all of us that truly this is God. But as soon as you have waited the first year, the second year, nothing has changed. Don't marry. Because don't bring another sickle cell into the world. The sickle cells we have today, all of them are begging that they don't want more. That they don't want more. The pain they go through, the health issues, they are the ones saying we don't want more. So don't marry. Do yourself good.
After that, I just think that sometimes, you know, people could really be selfish when they're in love. So sometimes they don't even consider the child they will bring. So one of the things I advise you to do, seek maybe counsel with a couple who has SS as a child.
Yes.
Or someone who is SS. I let them tell you their story. Maybe it will encourage you to really be sure if God ever told you that this was the person. Do you understand? Because what they go through is a lot. It is really, really, really a lot. And I'm not sure you want to see your child go through that.
Yes. And I'm also sure that you might have seen an AS couple that gave birth and the child is not SS. It's possible. Maybe that's one. That is one in a million. Thank you very much. Wow. Let me pray with us before we go tonight. Have you been blessed tonight? Rise up. Let us quickly pray. Let's pray. I want to pray for everybody here. Why I'm praying for you is that you will not make the mistakes that many people have made and they start regretting. In the name of Jesus. You will not carry over things in the name of Jesus. You will not struggle in the name of Jesus. Baby, come. Let's hold our hands together in agreement and pray. Let's pray. Amen. Yes. If two shall agree upon a thing as touching it. One of my prayers in this church is for relationships and marriages. That people who are making decisions, it's not good to suffer. We have counseled people, have been in the counseling, you know, terrain, and I've seen that a bad marriage is next to hell. I've seen it. It's very terrible. And that's why, if there's any way we can counsel, encourage people, pray with them, we'll continue to do it. I want you to pray from your heart sincerely, by yourself, and say, God, I want your will to be done in my life. Everybody start praying. Your will to be done in my life. I want you to start praying and say, God, let your will be done in my life, in the name of Jesus. Concerning my marital destiny, let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, concerning my marital destiny, let your will be done. I will not get it wrong. In the name of Jesus. If you know you want the will of God, pray it. Pray it. Pray it. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done, oh God. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done, Jesus. I subscribe to your plan and your purpose. I subscribe to your desire for me. I subscribe to what you want for me and not what I want for myself. I subscribe to what you have planned for me and not what I have planned for myself. I subscribe to your divine agenda for my life and not my own. I want you to pray that way and say, God, let your will be done. I will not make mistakes. I will not make mistakes. Any mistake that will make me cry, any mistake that will affect my children, any mistake that will bring pain, any mistake that will bring shame, I will not make that mistake. In the name of Jesus, I will not make that mistake. In the name of Jesus, I will not make that mistake. In the name of Jesus. Anyone that is in a relationship that is just a trap of the devil to mess up your life, I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, that the Lord God Almighty will begin to break that tie. Begin to break that tie. In God's calendar, that relationship will already destroy you. I say, God, let your mercy strengthen and bring courage to break out in the name of Jesus. I want you to lift up your voice and declare, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every attack of Satan on my marital destiny, today in the name of Jesus, I declare that I scatter it. In the name of Jesus, every attack of Satan on my marital destiny, every plan of Satan to truncate, every plan of Satan to mess up, every plan of Satan to make me make wrong decisions, in the name of Jesus, I declare that it is scattered. The Bible says, surely they shall gather, but not by me. Every gathering, satanic conspiracy against your marital destiny, every devil that has said you will repeat the errors of those in your background, every devil that has said you will have the mistakes of those in your background, today, in the name of Jesus, pray, child of God, I want you to pray.
I want you to pray from your heart. I want you to pray from your heart. I want you to pray from your heart. In the name of Jesus. Aruana gabazega de la boshande, erega ba 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 ba, eriene ko sebelega. I scatter the works of darkness. I scatter the plans of the devil. I dislodge all the arrangement of Satan. Every voice of Satan speaking over your life, trying to make you repeat errors and patterns, mistakes of your parents, mistake that runs in your family line. Today, in the name of Jesus, I declare it will not come to pass. 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 Everyone that is tied in sexual immorality, masturbation, addiction to pornography, addiction to sexual intercourse, that the devil has found that it will sow dangerous seed and bring shame to you, and bring shame, and bring judgment on your family. Every crack that you are putting on your family already, every crack that you are putting on your marital destiny already, through sexual sin, by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, by the mercy of God, I declare that crack, it is repaired by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. What has caused others to cry? What has caused others to know shame? What has caused others to know pain? That the devil is about to repeat in your own time. You young man, you young woman, I declare by the mercy of God, it shall not happen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift up your voice. When I pray, you will shout a loud amen. Every trap that the devil has set ahead of you, the Bible makes us understand that David's mistake went into his family and immorality started spreading everywhere in his family. Everything that the devil is doing to make you repeat negative pattern, every pattern of marital dysfunction, dysfunctions in marriages and homes, every pattern of incest, every pattern of cousin sleeping with cousin, brother sleeping with brothers, every pattern of sexual immorality that will eventually play out in your marriage and bring about all manner of trauma. Today, as we agree in the spirit, I declare that pattern is nullified in the name of Jesus. Every satanic handwriting upon your marital destiny that the devil has said, this is your crime, this is your error, this is your mistake, you will bear it. I declare right now, the mercy of God speak over you in the name of Jesus. The mercy of God speak over you in the name of Jesus. You will not shed tears in your marriage. You will not weep over your marriage. In the name of Jesus, every trap that those ahead of you have entered and they have wept, they have cried, and you grew up seeing those things, and devil has said another one will happen. The Bible says surely there is an end. Affliction will not rise a second time. I declare over you, affliction will not rise a second time. Affliction will not rise a second time. Every family where somebody has to die early, one spouse will die, the other will struggle. I declare over you that affliction, it gets to your turn, and you are the beginning of a new order. You are the beginning of a new order. New order of long life. New order of happy homes. New order of glorious children. In the name of Jesus. Every young man, lift up your hands. The devil is always after men because he knows that men are arrowheads. I speak to every young man under the sound of my voice. The devil that is trying to trail you with all manner of things. You are fighting hard, but the devil seems to be having an upper hand. I declare by the word of the Lord, he said, when the enemy rise like a flood, the Lord be raised his standard. Receive strength and grace to overcome in the name of Jesus. Receive strength and grace to overcome in the name of Jesus. Every devil that has said through you, he will start another cycle of pain and shame and affliction and all manner of sexual immorality and family dysfunction, I declare, because of the word of the Lord that you have heard and you keep hearing, I declare you are raising a new standard in the name of Jesus. The seeds that will come out of your loins, they'll be seed of greatness. I said they'll be seed of greatness. In the name of Jesus. Every lady, I pray for you here under the sound of my voice. Every devil that is trying to trail you and bring you into a cycle
of shame and pain and regret, where you will shed tears and cry, where you will look around and you will say to yourself, what kind of life is this? There are many women that are suffering today. Somebody put them under pressure and they got into terrible relationships. Some other people were mistakenly found in relationships that is a cycle of pattern. What happened to some of your mothers? You are seeing that that's the same thing Satan is about to bring. Every error that exists in your family line that the devil is bringing again, I declare today in the name of Jesus, I say you will not repeat negative pattern. I say you will not repeat negative pattern. You will not repeat negative pattern. He gets to your turn and you escape. He gets to your turn and you escape. He gets to your turn and you escape. In the name of Jesus. Every negative habit, anger, bitterness, quarrel, malice, habits that are not of God, that the devil has held you in, today I set you free in the name of Jesus. Every bad news that has spread about you in the sight of men that God has ordained that should have come your way, only thing they hear about you is bad character. They hear bad things. They hear negative things. And as such, they don't see you as one that is visible for marriage. Today, I declare a new record God sets for you today in the name of Jesus. Those who know your errors, they will not come near you. Those who know your new standing with God, they will connect with you. In the name of Jesus. Any man you marry, his life is made already. Young men, I prophesy over you, any woman that marries you, her seed, her children, her life is better already. The wisdom of God rests upon you. The grace of God rests upon you. Everyone here, online, wherever you are, happy homes, happy marriages, happy family. You will not rush into a relationship that will kill you. When it's time to be patient, receive grace to be patient. When it's time to act, may you not delay. You will not stay a single day outside the will of God. It's well with you. Joy and happiness will be yours. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together, celebrate Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.